Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. I apologize wholeheartedly. We had some technical difficulties, but we're back on the air live. And today we have a special guest. This is a series where I've been doing interviews with authors around the country over the last few months. And it's always a pleasure to talk to someone who's actually been able to take the time to put thoughts and figures and facts on paper. And this is no different. The theme of our show today is we have a book called Palpable Passions by Tom Corbett. And in our episode info, if you got a chance to check it out, either on blogtalkradio.com/IMTN Worldwide or off of Instagram, IMTN Worldwide Radio. One thing about stories, even though a story might not be exactly true, someone writes it really well, it could be true. And in this particular case, there were thousands of individual experiences before, during, and after 9/11. And it's impossible to know how the events of that day affected different people, but the book, Palpable Passions by Tom Corbett, does a great job of doing just that. Two families, one born to privilege in America and the other struggling under the oppressive Taliban regime in Kabul, confront the demons and challenges of their separate worlds. Circumstances and serendipity bring the two together in the Panjshir Valley of northern Afghanistan, just as Osama bin Laden strikes New York and Washington. Their unanticipated connection offers each an opportunity to discover renewed hope. From black despair, each finds a path towards achieving personal passions that they can literally feel, passions that they once thought were beyond their grasp. So today we're going to discuss that book with Tom, ask him what gave him the initial idea for the story, his goal for writing it, and more. And, of course, we will learn more about Tom and his background and what he has planned in the future. So tune in, listen in, and call in. Of course, the number is 646-652-4479. Let's go ahead and bring Tom into the show.
Hi.
Good afternoon, Tom. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine. Pleasure to be here.
Good.
By the way, it sounds like a great book. I should read it someday.
I know. Well, I had to make sure that, give a little bit of insight for the audience today in regards to the book itself. And I do apologize again. I had some technical difficulty. You know how computers go sometimes. So,
Absolutely. So first and foremost,
Tom, you live in Wisconsin, I notice, and I'm not going to take anything away from you since, you're probably a Green Bay Packer fan. I'm not going to go there with you. I'm a Falcons fan, of course. But how long have you been out in Wisconsin?
Since the early 1970s. I stumbled into a job at the state of Wisconsin, thought I'd be there, for a short period of time. It turned into a position at the university, and now whatever it's been, almost 50 years later, still here, and live in Madison, which is just a great town. It's oftentimes listed at the top of places to live, so it's a little oasis in the Midwest. We enjoy it a lot.
Wow. Well, you mentioned the university. Introduce yourself to the audience so I can kind of get an idea of your background real quick.
I was at the University of Wisconsin-Madison for many, many years. I taught social policy. I helped run a research unit, National Center on Poverty Research. It's been funded by the federal government since the 1960s. I did a lot of consulting on policy issues around the country. Spent a lot of time in Washington. Spent some time up in Canada, just dealing with welfare reform, poverty policy, social services, human services. And then, without going too deeply into it, it was a career I enjoyed thoroughly. The way I put it is I got to fly around the country working with the best and the brightest of people on society's most difficult challenges, and they paid me for it.
Well, you've gotten around, that's for sure, but you definitely have gotten a lot of experience in what you're doing and talking about. So let me ask you this, because one of the things I noticed from your website was that you are, make sure I pronounce this right, is it Emeritus Senior Scientist?
Emeritus.
What does that mean exactly? Emeritus, there you go, thanks. What does
emeritus
that mean exactly?
Emeritus just means you're retired, but you have a place in the university. So you're still attached to the university, but I'm formally retired from teaching and administration and research. Although I have done, up until very recently, I continue to do projects. But and the senior scientist is just a title that suggests that I was basically focused on research, although I did a lot of teaching as well.
Mm-hmm. What was it, in, I guess, when you were younger that kind of led you in regards to your career choices that got you to the point where you're beginning to write and things of that nature? What, was it something that happened or something that you saw that, that made you want to concentrate on that?
Well, in terms of the writing, when I was a kid, I grew up in a working class neighborhood. It was, this was not a land of scholars and young professional types. We were just ruffians, and so most of the kids wanted to be athletes, cowboys, whatever. I used to fantasize about being a writer. I don't know where that came from. I mean, that was just really out of left field, and it just never always stuck with me. But it at some point, as I got a little bit older, went to college, I realized, that writing thing is pretty iffy. So I probably should get a job that, actually pays. And falling into, sort of social policy work, I won't go through the whole story. It's all written out in a book called Ouch, Now I Remember, in my early years, which I'm rewriting, republishing as Confessions of a Clueless Rebel. It'll be coming out later this year.
Nice.
I fell into the policy work, and then I got to the university, and that was just a marvelous. It was a great place to do what I did, but always, this is the point. Always in the back of my mind was someday I want to go back and do some personal writing, not academic writing, but personal writing. And then when I retired, I dove into it.
Gotcha. So let me ask you. So for the book itself, the title. How did you come across as far as, or what was your thoughts behind that particular title? Was it something that you, because I guess with some writers, I guess it's almost like music a little bit. They'll choose something and then write behind it, or they'll write something and then give a title to it. So how was your process in regards to doing this book?
I think that they're probably two germ ideas, concepts, behind the book. One is the notion of culture, and the two families are embedded in their cultures. And I've always been fascinated by how people either get trapped by their cultures or they break away, like I thought I broke away from my early culture. And the other one was is sort of a notion that I've come upon late in life, that people are sort of born to do certain things, to achieve certain things. It's kind of hardwired a little bit. And so, and that's your inner passion. And so one of the protagonists in the book is a young Afghani girl who can't go to school because the Taliban doesn't permit it for girls. And, but her passion is to be like her father, who was a doctor. And one of the strong themes, or the big themes in the book, is her struggle to realize that dream against impossible odds. So that's where the palpable passion. These are passions that are so real to the individual, they're palpable, that you can feel them. So that's where the title came from.
Nice. What was your purpose of writing this book now? Was there something where you wanted to be able to address some of these issues Because, of course, with 9/11 happening, you know, well, it's amazing to even think about it. It happened years ago now. But was there something that might maybe sparked in your mind to say, you know what, this needs to, you know, be, you know, talked about a little bit more?
9/11 and Afghanistan are just like the backdrop. It's not the point of the story. The point of the story is the personal struggles that the two families face. I think I wanted to pick two families that were at opposite ends of the sort of the spectrum in terms of lifestyle and culture and so forth. And I wanted to really pick a really oppressive regime for one family. And there was probably no regime is more oppressive than the Taliban were. Religious zealots, you know, who just particularly regarding women. So that was, but in part, I think of, I did spend 2 years in the Peace Corps in the 1960s in India. So I had a feel for, I was out in the desert in a relatively small village. So I had a kind of a feel for what it was like to live in an old ancient culture in a remote area. So I could draw a little bit on those experiences as well. But part of the what I try to do is first and foremost tell a good story. And that if I can go on for just a moment here. I remember once in college running into my English professor in the lunch line of all places, and I said, yeah, I'm really thinking about writing someday. You know, what does it take to be an author? And he only had one piece of advice for me. Can you tell a good story? And I didn't know if I could back then, but I never forgot that piece of advice. But first and foremost, I wanted to tell a good story. But second of all, and by that I mean I want to balance drama, humor. I love humor. There's a lot of humor in everything I write. Pace. It has to be, you know, well-paced. So, and there are other attributes too, and you want to blend them all together. It's like writing a symphony. But I also want a lot of substance in what I write. So there is a good deal of political commentary about America, about inequality, about lack of opportunity. Afghanistan is not the only place where there's a lack of opportunity, that's imposed by politics and culture. Also exists in America as well. We have retreated from being, you know, the land of opportunity. And I always joke now, if you want upward mobility and a chance to, you know, do well in life, go to Denmark. You know, go to Sweden, go to one of those northern European countries where you can still go to college, you can still achieve something. We are making it more difficult for kids today to achieve. I mean, it was possible for a working class kid when I was growing up to get a doctorate. I mean, to go all the way through. I mean, you know, now I used to teach these kids in college, and they were buried in debt and totally anxious about their futures. And it's just a very, very different world. So I have these political statements that are, you know, they're introduced throughout the book. But I try to not make it a polemic. I mean, I try to get make these things, but still keep the pace going and a good story going. I have a political message that I want to get out. Yep.
Gotcha. And you actually answered one of my other questions too, because you had mentioned culture, and then the time that you spent in some other countries. Because I was going to ask about, you know, some of the research that would be necessary to, you know, be able to put a book like this together. So you kind of answer those questions as far as you being able to get a feel of what it's like living in that type of an environment, things of that nature. And also one of the things that I remember seeing and reading and watching about in regards to this book was that it's a page turner. You kind of mentioned those things are important in regards to a publication, you know, pace and things of that nature. But let me ask you this. Do you feel that this particular book is something that could be turned into a film one day?
I think it could. I think it would make a good movie, as well as my first fictional book, which was called Tenuous Tendrils. And that I think also was, it was structured in a way that could lend itself to the screen. I mean, it all takes place in 7 days at the retirement of someone who fled the United States in the 60s during the tumult of the Vietnam War, and then spent his career in Canada. Now he's retiring, and his whole life and all his relationships, sort of come back to him. And that, that also, I think, would make. But, you have to be, if you happen to know George Clooney's telephone number, or his mailing address, I'll send him a copy.
Tom. I got connections now. Went into one of my other questions, my next question, actually. What are some of the other books you have written, and do you have anything on the horizon?
Quite a bit. I had some academic books in the past, but we'll skip those. And then two group projects, memoirs of my Peace Corps group, which that got me into writing, really. But those came out in 2010 and 12. But I think starting in 2013, I started my own books, personal. And the first two were memoirs, browsing through my candy store, which was a memoir of my policy days, fighting welfare. It's like a 4+ decade tour of welfare reform, poverty policy from the trenches, from my point of view. But, I spent a lot of time in Washington, so it deals with all the national issues as well. And then Ouch, Now I Remember was sort of growing up in, the post-World War II period, in a tough working-class neighborhood in Massachusetts, and how I broke away from my culture and, went in an entirely different way. Very funny. They're both humorous, but Ouch is very funny. Then I did a serious book called The Boat Captain's Conundrum. It doesn't sound serious, but it's not necessarily for the lay reader. There's a lot of deeper social policy stuff. And then I finally started getting back to real fiction. And the first two fictional books were Tenuous Tendrils, which I mentioned earlier, and then Palpable Passions. Now, I was convinced by a publishing house to go back and re-up the first two memoirs, Ouch and Browsing. I've just finished the redoing of those two. And they will be republished as Confessions of a Clueless Rebel. Confessions of a Clueless Rebel will be my personal early memoir. It's even funnier and whatever than the original. And dramatic. I mean, it's not just all funny. I mean, there's a lot of insights and a lot of, lessons to be learned. I mean, I blend humor with substance and so forth. And Confessions of a Wayward Academic. That's my rewritten policy book. But I had already started, but put it on hold, a sequel to Palpable Passions.
Really?
Because the story's not really finished. This next one, he gets more deeply into the politics of the right and so on and so forth lately, and the dangers faced in this country and in the world. So that will be doing that project over the next several months. And then one more thing to mention, a fellow Peace Corps volunteer from my group, but he was in India just before me, but he married a gal from our group, so he's gets known that way. And we've both written, and we've been sort of encouraged to write a funny sort of kind of series of vignettes that would fit sort of like, remember MASH, the Korean War and the surgical group, funny but dramatic sort of stuff. Something like a MASH for Peace Corps, because we were sort of really clueless. We had no idea what we were doing. We somehow managed not to set off World War III in our efforts to save India back in the 1960s. But we have a lot of, again, funny, dramatic, sad, inspiring stories to tell. It'll be somewhat based on reality, but we'll probably fictionalize it somewhat. And that's
that would be a really cool concept.
Well, the reason it stuck with me is that I have a colleague who's now the associate dean at the university, and she doesn't give out praise lightly. We did a lot of work together, but she's sort of tough. Anyway, from the day one when she read the first one, she said, "You guys were hopeless. This would make a great sitcom. You should turn this into a sitcom." And she's never let up on that. So I think this Alex fellow and myself will after I finish my sequel, we'll get back to it and do it.
Sounds like a plan to me. I can't wait to hear about that in the future. Let me ask you, because I haven't had a chance to ask you yet, how can the audience and anyone find your books as far as the social media goes or the internet? Do you have a website, any pages that people can go and click and get your books?
Well, certainly Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, just put the titles in and they'll come up. If you just put my name in, Tom Corbett, you're likely to get a lot of Tom Corbett, Space Cadet, who was a hero in the 1950s, a lot of, the television show and a lot of books from that era. But you'll find me eventually. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of websites. There's a TomCorbettAuthor.com. I think there's another one. You can just go to that one. And I'm on. I do have. If you get, there's a Tom Corbett literary page. I don't know exactly how this works, but there's a on Facebook. And if they can find that, you'll find a lot of. There are videos and there are all kinds of stuff that you can peruse. If you're interested in the book or any of these sound kind of interesting, go to one of the major like Amazon or Barnes and Noble and just look them up. And I think you'll enjoy them. I ran into a woman the other day and she leapt out of her car. And she said, "I just finished Palpable." And she said, "It's magical. It's just, it's, she just waxed for about, I was embarrassed as hell that she waxed so passionately about how much she enjoyed the book." But so every once in a while, you get that kind of feedback and makes it worth it, right?
Well, I'll definitely be pushing people towards the sites and the books. And like I said, after I have this interview super stuff, it'll be posted on the website as well. So, Tom, I'm glad to have you on. I hate to end the show, but I'm glad we were able to really get a good understanding in regards to Palpable Passions and just the theme of it and the whys and the hows and then the other stories that you're going to be putting out in the near future. And I'm sure that my audience today definitely is going to be looking forward to what you're going to be coming up with next.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
All right, take care. Well, folks, that's going to end our show today. I'm so happy to have had Tom on, Tom Corbett. Definitely Google him. He's all over, definitely Amazon. And be looking out for my site on blogtalkradio.com/IMTN Worldwide. Follow me on IMTN Worldwide Radio on Instagram to get more information. Until next time, this is Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Take care.